This is Seven Bells of the Afternoon Watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, not on the magical Isle of Vashon, but in Annapolis, Maryland. Why I am in Annapolis and how I got here is part of the adventures of life, which I will disclose a little bit farther on in the broadcast. In the meantime, the broadcast today is replete with stories that fulfill my mission, which is to make all of us who listen to me, give me half an hour of your time every week, feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. I only have one story, and I may not even get to that today, which does not come within the boundaries of that particular op order. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who live on the magical isle or do not live on the magical isle of Vashon, but who responded to my call for the acquisition of raffle tickets for the great running around of Thriftway Market as a fundraiser for the Voice of Vashon. Periodically, twice, three times a year, we have a fundraiser in which we raise the money to keep the Voice of Vashon, and in particular, your Captain Joe, from the captain's chair, on the air. The station has I believe we have no advertising revenue. I know that we mention a number of sponsors and supporters, but I don't think we do much in the way of actual advertising. And in any case, most of our income comes from people just like you, people just like me, and all of us who support, who believe in what we do here, and who support the Voice of Vashon. And so my thanks, my mahalo goes out to everybody who responded to that call. May you be the one who grabs the trolley and runs around for 3 minutes in our local Thriftway and accumulates all of the good things that you can get within that time. The benefit list this week is a sad one for your captain, not because anyone has crossed the bar, but because in the last week, a couple of signals came to me with news of friends who are in particular, closing range and steady bearing. In other words, in danger of collision with serious business. So one of them is came to me from Captain O'Brien, as a matter of fact, and that is an island stalwart, Guido. And Guido, it turns out, has had an extremely serious diagnosis, a cancer diagnosis, and has had extremely serious surgery just in the last few days. And so far, no prognosis has been forthcoming from his medical team. And so it is especially important for Guido and for everybody else who is on the binnacle list. It is important for all of us to be sending the incredible amounts of energy that we are able to muster as we do this collectively. And another one is a couple of my people on the Coast Guard channel, Pat and a couple of others who also, John, who is considering having some knee surgery, things like that. I don't mean this to become one of those litanies of woe that evangelists are so fond of doing, where they call out people and then say, may all of the good things come from above. That will either happen or not, depending on one's beliefs. But what will happen, no matter what your beliefs are, is that if you are on the Captain Joe's binnacle list, then you get a huge infusion of psychic energy that comes from all of us to all of you. And I add to that now my friend Christine, who I will talk about a little bit farther on in the broadcast, and the Parkinson's, which has taken over her life. All of you, as is always the case, are firmly in the palm of my hand. The palm of my hand may be a little bit grimier than normal, as I have been carrying my sea bag, which looks somewhat like a hard-sided Samsonite bag, around a couple of airports. But in the meantime, everybody who is a recipient of all of our energy, it is our hope, our wish, and certainly my command that you fulfill all of the requirements of your medical team so that you return to full duty and come back with all of us. Because, dear ones all, we have a great deal to do, and it is not given to us to know how much time we have left to do it. The next Tuesday, a week from today, is election Tuesday in this country, depending on whether your jurisdiction has a special or a regular election. As always, I urge everyone to not only acquire the ballot, but to retrieve it from where it has fallen down behind the radiator and fill it out and send it in. The secret ballot is one of the great privileges and obligations of citizenship in this country, in this great land that we all serve. And in King County, here, we are, the magical Isle of Vashon is part of unincorporated King County, and we are voting for a county executive. The county executive in this county is elected, and the former county county executive has elected to not stand. I don't think he's termed out, but I do believe that he's decided not to stand and to seek either other office or other other activities. But he's been the county executive for a number of years, and in most cases, he has done a good job, and he gets a modified Bravo Zulu from the captain. But in any case, we are voting for a county executive, and that, especially for those of us who live in unincorporated King County, like those of us who live on Vashon. It is an extremely important election, and there are 8 or 9 candidates for the job. So that means that each one of us who is privileged to vote in a King County election has the obligation to read carefully every single one of the entries in the voter's pamphlet, and then make a carefully considered decision as to who you want to be the executive to lead and run on a day-to-day basis King County. I had, over the last week, I did several tours where people call or they send me a signal. They wrap a piece of paper around a rock and toss it into the front lawn of Captain's Quarters, however they get to me. And they ask me if I will do a tour at other than Sunday. And if I am able to negotiate a time and date that is mutually agreeable, then I am delighted to be able to do that. And in this last week, I did two of those. And one of them was, and I'm going to talk briefly as I can ever talk about anything about them, because there were some really interesting and heartwarming things that came out of that, which is in fulfillment of my feeling good about ourselves mission. The first one was I was requested to do this by my friend and colleague, Greg, who is an employee of Mother King, King County, and he is my exemplar of what we would all like to have as a public servant. He works hard. He is responsive to the needs and wishes and desires and comments of his constituency. He has a great sense of humor. He does not take himself too seriously in terms of his position. And he is honest. And were he to sail with me, he would be a great shipmate. So Greg sent me a signal, and he asked me if I would be willing to do a tour for a group of people coming over from the state. And these are people who are in the business of accepting applications for grants for recreation activities. And they were over to look at the site of some of the activities for which they're being asked to furnish grants. And as part of that, Greg wanted them to take a look at one of the most enjoyable places on the island, and that is Point Robinson. And I am the captain of Point Robinson. So this group was maybe 15, 20 people. And, of course, all of them being also public servants, I didn't know exactly what to expect. But it turned out that they were responsive to the stories that I tell. They were responsive to the jokes, if we could call them that. I did indeed fail once or twice the Captain's Language Improvement Program, and I did not get any scowls or sneers at that particular peccadillo. It was, in fact, just a lovely, lovely morning. And great questions and great comments. Some of the people had served, so I get to tell the story about the flag at Point Robinson, which flies 24 hours a day, and honor of all of us who have served and those who are serving now and the young people that will come behind us. It was just a great and most enjoyable time. And if there was ever any need to strengthen in this captain's black heart the idea that public service can take many forms and that it takes all kinds of people to carry out all of these functions. At the end of the time, I was asked if we could all muster together for a group photograph. Now, I am not the most enthusiastic photograph taker, and so I agreed to do this gracefully and graciously. And after the photograph had been endured, the lead of the group produced a bag. And in this bag were some gifts. And one of the gifts was a ball cap. Now, I do not wear ball caps. And in fact, the only cover that I ever wore was when I was on active duty, of course, I had to wear a cover as part of the uniform. So it was insisted that for the purposes of yet one more photograph that I put on the ball cap. The dilemma here is, how firm is my objection to wearing them? It turned out it wasn't very firm, and I put the ball cap on, and we had a photograph, and then I told the story about why I did not wear ball caps, but this was after I had worn their ball cap, and we had taken the photograph. Just a great, great group of people, and all of them just enjoying each other, enjoying the day. Mount Rainier was showing herself in all of her glory. And it was a lovely, lovely time. The next one that came to me was a request to do a tour for a group of people from an assisted living facility on the mainland. I take particular joy in doing these because my mother lived the last 5 years of her life in an assisted living facility right here on the magical isle of Vashon. I worked with that facility for 10 years. It had 10 years of my life in it, and alas, it is no more. But that's another story for another time. Anyway, I said I would be delighted to do this, and in order to manage with people who were with walkers or, in one case, a wheelchair, that I would allow them to drive the van all the way out and put it right in front of the lighthouse. So that's what we did, and this turned out also to be a particularly responsive. Sometimes when you get tour groups that come from facilities like this, sometimes you get people who are losing touch with the world. That was not the case with this group. And again, it was a great group of people that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I issued out many of my lighthouse posters, and many of them brought several to share with their grandchildren. And you can, of course, imagine how the cockles of this captain's black heart were warmed whenever that would happen. My custom with groups like this is to, when they get back on their bus, is to go and stand in the front of the bus and wish them well and enjoyment, give them the joy of the day for the rest of the day and unspoken, the rest of the time that they may have in their lives, because for some of these people, it isn't very much. So I did that, and they then headed off for luncheon in town. And I noticed that there was an old friend who was teaching a sketching class, and he had his students were sitting at picnic tables, and they were using Point Robinson as the subject of their sketching class. And so I went over. And and one of them had a service dog, and I just happened to have a bag of healthy dog treats in my car, and I gave them to the dog, and the group gave them a little bit of the history of Point Robinson Light. And as I was leaving, Darcy, the teacher, and an artist of great, great skill. He, in particular, does exquisite miniature watercolors. And as I was leaving, he said, "Captain Joe, I will tell Chris that I saw you." And I turned around, I did a 180, and I went back over to Darcy, and I said, "I was not going to ask you about this, but now that you have said Chris's name, I'm going to ask you how she is doing. This is my Parkinson's friend." And it turns out that the ravages of this particular disease are taking hold, and that's why I'm taking hold more and more. But I tell these stories because the tours that I give at Point Robinson often turn out to be much more than just this gentleman of a certain age pontificating about something that he knows quite a bit about and gives a huge amount of information, but they turn out often to be a lot more than that. And so I am particularly privileged to be able to do this, and I do this with the full authorization, permission of the Vashon Park District, which holds the lease on Point Robinson. The Coast Guard only takes care of the part of it that makes it a working lighthouse, and the Park District takes care of the rest of it. And so I feel very privileged to be able to keep on doing this, and so I call out right now the Vashon Park District for allowing me to keep on doing this. Well, the group that came from the assisted living facility plastered on the side of their bus said that this was a bus of joy. And so I called it the Joy Tour, and that's how we ended our day together, that this was the Joy Tour. So why am I in Annapolis? How did I get here? And what happened on that journey? Many years ago, when I first, Mary and I first came to be together, I was included in a group of her close friends, Sharon and Jim. Jim is retired from the National Security Agency, NSA, and Sharon was a flight attendant. Over the years, I became closer and closer to this family, to Sharon and Jim's children, and to their grandchildren. They are all my friends. Sharon and Jim now are progressively losing their contact with reality. And so I make a journey in which I dedicate the time that I have by staying as close to them as I can so that we can maximize the amount of time that we have together. That's what's going to happen in just a few minutes. We're having our first meal together, and I will be able then to evaluate how they are doing. And even if this will be the last time that, in particular, Jim will know who I am, it will be worth it, and it will be the motivation for me to make sure that I get myself through another year so that a year from now or 6 months from now or whenever their daughter, Chris, who is my touch point into the family, sends me a signal and says, Captain Joe, I think you should be coming. You should come here pretty soon. When I get that signal, I will be there. There is a nonstop from SeaTac to Dulles, IAD. And I elected to take that even though it involves a little bit of driving because it is indeed a nonstop and I don't have to change because I'm finding that changing is becoming just a little bit more difficult, a little bit more challenging, and takes a little bit more out of me when I get to the other end. So just before midnight, I boarded this flight, and I get pre-boarding because I kind of weave up and down the jetway. So I'm sitting there waiting for my seatmate because I also always take the aisle seat so that I can make a quick run to the forward head should it be necessary. And so I'm sitting there, and this lovely young lady comes, and she says, excuse me, I'm going into the window seat. So I got up, and she moved in, and she had this enormous backpack. And she sat down in the seat, and she started to organize herself for the flight. This flight's about 5 hours long, nonstop from SeaTac to Dulles, IED. And she starts to organize herself, and she reaches into this enormous backpack, and she pulls out these stuff bags. And in one of these stuff bags, she's got a pair of flip-flops, and she puts those on. In another stuff bag, she's got an eye shade. In another one, she's got this wool cap. And she just keeps reaching into this voluminous backpack, sea bag, and pulling things out and putting them on. And then, after she'd gotten everything installed the way that she wanted it, I kept waiting for her to pull out one of those little Coleman type of stoves that you see campers, that backpack campers use. I was waiting for her to pull that out and to prepare her meal. But I was to be denied in that, and she then just sat back, put the eye shade down, went to sleep, slept all the way through until it was without a single head call, until it was time for us to come in on final going into IAD, at which time she woke up and she was cheery and bright. She reversed the process with everything going back into the stuff bags and back into the backpack. And then when we got off of the airplane, she was rested and she was ready for the day. Fortunately, I was able to sleep through most of it, and I was rested and ready for the day as well, which involved getting a car. But I have to tell you that the meal that United provided on that particular flight would have been a disgrace to a chief commissaryman in any one of my ships. So it was pre-order. I was allowed to pre-order. And they said, filet. Well, even I knew that there wouldn't really be a filet, but I didn't know to what depths of depravity they had fallen, because not only was it not a filet, it was a little tiny piece of gray mystery meat about the size and texture and consistency of a hockey puck. Now, Captain Joe, what do you know about hockey pucks? Not a hell of a lot, but I know what they look like, and I know what their size is, and I know what their consistency is, and that was what was on this plate. I have not yet finished composing my letter to the president of United Airlines, but I will now include that the meals that they are now serving in the front end of the airplane on at least these flights is really dismal. And I tell you all of this so that should you be flying on United and you're offered the opportunity to select the filet, don't do it. Pick something else, like maybe the salad. You would think that they couldn't screw up the salad, but the salads are usually not so bad, but they come with a dressing that you cannot open the packet. But once you get it open, it is a miserable dribble. And so I have taken to putting my own salad dressing into a former pill container and using that instead. There's a little travel tip for you from the captain. I had reported Huron that I had finally been able to divest myself of a few of my treasures, and I did. And I sent them in a parcel to my young friend Cody, and Cody is a diminutive for the word Kodiak, and Kodiak is named for Kodiak in Alaska. And there's a reason for that, and it's connected to the Coast Guard cutter Storrs, and that's another story for another time. So anyway, I found some books and other things from that I felt that Cody would enjoy and would be happy to have to begin his own literary collection, and I bundled them up and sent them off. And I got a report this morning, including a photograph of Cody and his mom as they opened the box. Now, there are not many things in this world that are better than to see the recipient of a gift who clearly is enjoying the opening of the box and the contemplation of the delights therein. And that's just what I saw in that photograph that I received today. And I'm not even going to have time to tell you the story that is a little bit troublesome to me. I'll save that for next week. Next week, I will be back on the magical Isle of Vashon. In the meantime, of course, we have Coast Guard Day coming up on the 4th of August. The Coast Guard will be 235 years old. We do not get to have one of those 250-year celebrations like the Army and the Marine Corps are doing, and the Navy mistakenly, because the Navy has broken service. And during that broken service, we, the Revenue Cutter Service, now the Coast Guard, were the ones who were the floating maritime military armed force. 235 years old on the 4th of August. And I will be celebrating that, but because it comes just before my broadcast day, I need to include it here. Looking quickly at my checklist and also at my watch, I see that once again we have come to the end of our time together. It is my hope, my wish, and certainly my command that all of the things that I've told you today have given you just a little bit of joy, because they certainly gave me a lot, and they were all connected to something to do with Captain Joe's people. And in that regard, all of you do me great honor by continuing to allow me to be the Captain Joe of Captain Joe's people. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this time from Annapolis, Maryland, one of my favorite towns in the entire world, this is your Captain Joe. I remain, as always, on station and watching properly.